Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. The city of Tulsa is seeking feedback on its downtown walkability study. Walkability has long been known as a key attribute in any successful high-density urban environment. Over the past year, noted city planner and urban designer Jeff Speck and his firm Speck & Associates have been looking over the downtown to see how people use it. The study took the premise that people will walk only when the walk is perceived as useful, safe, comfortable, and interesting, then examined the area within the inner dispersal loop to see if it met the criteria, and then proposed a number of carefully planned interventions to make walking through downtown a better proposition. Those interventions include reducing the speed of vehicles within downtown through eliminating one-way streets, adding protected bike lanes, adjustments to the streets themselves, adding a tree canopy, reducing a block-long surface parking lots, and encouraging sidewalk dining, as well as urban retail, and adding on-street parking. My guest today is Tom Baker, the Executive Director of the Downtown Coordinating Council. You can view the full report at downtowntulsaok.com. The council is wanting feedback on the proposals, and you can give your opinion at feedbacktulsa.org. Tom Baker joins me to talk about the walkability study here on Studio Tulsa. Tom Baker, welcome back to Studio Tulsa. Thanks very much for joining us.
I'm very glad to be here.
The Downtown Coordinating Council is seeking feedback on this recent walkability study. This has been going on for
almost a year,
as you've had a group looking at how traffic circulates in downtown, how people use downtown. It was really, the report is actually really interesting. Just everything from looking at how much we have to use an automobile, say, around the Performing Arts Center, where people have to drive a half mile to leave the parking garage and then go around and pick somebody up at a hotel downtown. So it was really interesting. So what was the big takeaway for you about this walkability study?
I think the walkability study has done just about exactly what we expected it to do, and that is to provide us with some different perspectives on how to improve the visitors' experience to downtown, whether it's visitors that are actually there to work, whether it's people coming down for events, whether it's people who are living down there, downtown. How do we improve that experience for them? And the Walkable City study gave us a lot of insight in how to do that.
Now, one of the things that came out during the presentation was, compared to about 5 or 10 years ago when we really started putting this major investment into downtown, we had these small little nodes, if you will, of development. Those nodes are growing, but still, we still haven't connected all the nodes, say, the Brady Arts District to the Blue Dome, to the Performing Arts Center, to the BOK, to the Central Business District, and then to South Downtown. What is the Coordinating Council doing as far as trying to make those nodes larger so they eventually overlap one another, and then you really have a vibrant downtown all the way through?
Well, if you've had the opportunity, and it's a long study.
Yeah.
So but that's one of the things that is addressed in there, the need to create walkable corridors between the established districts, whether it's entertainment or dining or whatever. And so that's a part of the discussion. As far as working with the individual districts, the DCC, Downtown Coordinating Council, while we have some programs and initiatives of our own as far as landscape maintenance and street cleaning and those kind of things, we generally work through each district, whether it's the Deco, the Greenwood, the East Village, to help them provide services for events and that they want to put on themselves. We have not, I don't think we would be successful, and we have not done it by going in and trying to tell each district what they should be doing. We provide them support with our marketing promotion efforts. We provide them support with funding for supplies or barricades or some level of service that we can help them do. And then we provide them some support and go in and help clean up after it.
Yeah. Now, the walkability study, first you asked the question, why people walk. And I think they came up with about four areas: safe walk, a reason to walk, a comfortable walk, and an interesting walk along the way. And a lot of the focus of the report is on a safe walk. And as I was sitting here thinking about these nodes, I think of, you know, the new One Oak Field. When you go there on a ball game night, you know, most of the parking is south of the railroad tracks. And they're crossing at Elgin and Greenwood to get to the ballpark, which are the two crossing points of the railroad, where they actually have to cross the railroad tracks. Is that something you guys are looking at?
Well, there's been a long-standing desire to eliminate those crossings, but to do it is such an enormous expense to either raise them or lower them that it hasn't gone very far, and it's not likely to go very
even,
far.
Even a pedestrian walkway over the train tracks?
I don't know if we haven't looked at that.
Yeah.
We've looked at working with the Tulsa Development Authority to provide better lighting, particularly on Elgin between First Street and Archer, things like that. But as far as putting an overpass or something in, that was, I think, one of the vision Councilor Ewing put forth during the last Vision Tulsa was the Center of the Universe project that created a grand park above the track, which would have accomplished what you're talking about. But it, and it's got some planning money in the funding, but it's a magnificent project and a pretty high price tag on it.
And it's well down the road.
Yeah.
Yeah, just planning money at this particular point. On that safe walk, a lot of people think when you mention a safe walk in downtown, they're thinking about the threat of bodily harm or, you know, the perception of crime. And that's not what you're talking about in the walkability study. Really, the safety issue is between pedestrian and automobile, correct?
Yes, and that's why you see such a focus on slowing traffic down, I think, in the study and the report. But whether you do that with angle parking, whether you do that by changing the synchronization of the traffic signals so people can just run almost at pre-expressway speeds to get in and out of downtown. But you've also got to, at the same time, provide them something that for them to be interested in slowing down to see. And that's a part of the corridors. And I think he outlined in the his report some features of where we could start expending economic development, downtown development, redevelopment funds into helping facilities get built in some of those, what do you call them, missing teeth in the in the walk from one district to the other.
Yeah, are we talking about the large surface parking lots that you have to negotiate?
Yeah. Or a building that's not being utilized that could be repurposed. Mm-hmm. But primarily it was either buildings that weren't utilized or surface parking lots.
Now, one of the primary recommendations is to avoid one-way streets. And we've had some, well, I'd say success with the limited number of streets that we've made two-way, Maine and Boston so far. There's plans to do that to Boulder and Cheyenne as well.
Yes.
But we think of, you know, Cincinnati is the way to get out of downtown going south. You think of First Street as the way to go to the west. Second Street is the way to go to the east. And the report calls for a lot of those streets also to be two-way, except right at the point where they're actually entering the expressways out of downtown. What was the reaction to that?
Well, the reaction when you start talking, have ever started to talk about turning those to two-way is, well, you can't do them because they're accessing or ingress or egress from the expressway system. Well, the study points out some methods that you can do that and that have been successfully utilized in other cities where you have a block or two of people on a one-way system to either coming off or getting onto an interior street. So we all know that it's something that we want to do, and you see enough people from time to time really confused. And if we're trying to make it more walkable, a better visit for people coming to downtown, those are some of the things that we need to focus on.
Yeah. Another big issue, again, with the one-ways is the speed of the autos in the downtown area. The speed limit is 25, but I think the report is saying sometimes that speed is actually closer to 35 or 45 in the downtown area. And it's interesting, which I never really thought of, is the width of the lanes and the fact that in a lot of these one-way streets, there are probably more lanes than is needed to carry traffic.
Well, that was pretty well documented in the report. Mm-hmm. But I'm just like you, Rich. I never thought about the way and width making that much of a difference. But it obviously does. And one of the things that has come up from time to time during the study, like you say, it's been in progress for almost a year now, was he would ask, how far should I go? How far should I go on this? Or how far should I go on that? And we repeatedly told him that basically, look, we're paying you for your best information. So you give it to us, and then we will deal with how we're going to implement it and how much of it we can and how much we might be able to do right now at least. So he's put some pretty shocking suggestions for some people who are of a long-standing background in traffic studies and engineering, and it doesn't fit the way we were doing business 10 or 15 years ago.
Huh. What's been shocking to the engineers?
Well, the narrowing the streets. Mm-hmm. But we've gotten good support and cooperation from that department in finding a compromise and getting those in. Because you see, as a part of this study, he has been advising, consulting with the design engineers on all of the downtown, currently funded downtown street projects. And so if you look at MLK and Detroit, mm-hmm. all that striping and everything that's been put on those has been a result of his input throughout the summer. So those things, while you can wait to see what this study is going to do and what we're going to do with it, you can look at those two as examples that are in place right now that are a result of what's in that report.
Are the lanes narrow?
The lanes are a little narrower.
Now, what he was saying was in most of downtown, the lanes are 12 feet wide, and he says that's more akin to a freeway as opposed to a downtown street, and he was advocating 10-foot lanes.
Well, we reached a pretty good consensus on the 10-foot lane, with the exception of just some places that initially could be very high traffic, and we left those at 11-foot, mm-hmm. and then they taper down to 10-foot as soon as they get closer into the downtown area. Lanes coming off of the interstate, for example.
Now, you mentioned those two arterial streets, which are still somewhat under construction, but one of the things I've noticed around Guthrie Green, for example, is the striping. The crosswalks are marked far more clearly. You're seeing some innovative ways to let people know about crosswalks as well.
Well, the striping project on MLK and North Detroit is not finished.
Yeah.
It's all on there, but there's a special green paint that they had to order that they will go back over them to make sure they stand out, as these are parking lanes and cycle lanes. So to try to differentiate them from the rest of the street.
Yeah. Now, that was the other thing. It advocates having a lot more cycling lanes in the downtown. And, you know, when we think of cycle lanes in this part of the country, we think of it as being the lanes of traffic, of vehicular traffic, and then right adjacent to it, bike lanes. This walkability study looks at separating the bike lanes from vehicular traffic, which makes a lot of sense. And I've been to other cities where that's been the case. And in this case, you're using street parking as a buffer between the bike lanes. What's been the reaction so far to that?
Well, it hadn't been put in place. It's striped.
Yeah.
But like I say, it's not painted. And so they've got it, still got it barricaded off where it's not being used right now. But the cycle, we consulted.
Imagine the cycling community likes that.
They were very supportive. They've participated in all the meetings we've had, and I'm sure they're putting their comments into the feedback Tulsa loop. And they have been advocating for better cycle tracks on Cheyenne and on Boulder, and those are going to be included already in the design for those two conversions. But they were included because of the work that was going on this summer in those two projects on MLK Boulevard and Detroit.
My guest today is Tom Baker, the executive director of the Downtown Coordinating Council. They're currently seeking feedback and comment on the Tulsa Walkability Study, which you can view at their website. I think there's a number of websites that are actually featuring the report. And it is a big report looking at how to make people, gives people a safer walk, a reason to walk, a comfortable walk, interesting walk in the downtown area. We've been talking mainly about making a safer walk, and there's a lot of different recommendations. One of them is limiting the sidewalk curb cuts. And some of this is goes back to, I think, in fact, I think I actually saw on Detroit, they were actually filling in some old curb cuts from a parking lot that yes. doesn't even allow access, but there's still a curb cut. Now, what's the reasoning behind limiting curb cuts? And that's basically a way to a driveway into a parking lot or just yeah. a cut into the sidewalk.
It just gives us more parking spaces, one. Mm-hmm. And then secondly, it eliminates the potential hazard of somebody turning in or coming out of a lot, a parking lot or a business where it's not necessary. There's not any effort, or will there be, to restrict a business's access to their facility for whatever their business is. But do we need as many as we've gotten in some areas? And like you point out, some of them are in the vacant lots. Some of them are buildings that have been put up. There's no way they would be utilized. So can we go back and when construction is done, can we get rid of some of those?
Yeah. Again, we mentioned bike lanes, the lanes of proper width, and also you're looking at maybe cutting down some of the driving lanes in downtown where you have more on-street parking, perhaps smaller lanes with bike lanes, and then perhaps in certain locations, a center lane, much like on 6th Street, where that there's sort of a street-level median that delivery vehicles use as a sort of a delivery zone. Do you see that being used widespread in downtown down the road?
I don't know how widespread it'll be, but it's recommended in different places, particularly on Boston, and that's going to be one that's going to take a lot of hand-holding and talking about because there's a little bit of concern about doing that. But if you're going to use those – if you're going to provide more on-street parking, and that is a big deal to the downtown businesses and the downtown property owners as they try to redevelop and bring more business to make that a more pleasant walk around their facility, having some place for their customers to park is important. It's a big economic issue for any city, and right now especially for us. So when you do that, you've got to have some place for these delivery trucks to load and unload. And so that's something that we're going to have to consider.
Now,
let me say that again. We don't have to consider, but it's an opportunity for us to consider a better way of doing business and support the businesses and the property owners in being successful.
More parking spaces is certainly a desire from downtown businesses. What shape will those likely take? I know the report kind of likes this idea of the backward angled parking where you go beyond the parking spot and sort of back into it. I know I've heard a lot of grumbling about it. You guys probably have heard a fair amount of grumbling about the few areas where the backward parking is, but did you think that's the way it's going to look at a lot of parts of downtown?
I think you're going to see that on one side. I don't recall. I'll admit I have not studied each one of his street designs.
Yeah, right.
But we will do that. But I don't think you'll see it on both sides of the street, but I think it's a good option for one side to help narrow the traffic flow.
Yeah. Now, some of the other reasons that people walk will be a comfortable walk, and so it's talking about street trees. That's another project that the Downtown Coordinating Council is very much involved with. What are you doing about planting more trees?
Well, we started out with the first project we did was to do 5 new entries into downtown, one at 6th and Kenosha, 7th and Kenosha, 12th and Denver, and over on Heavy Traffic Way and 1st Street, and then on the exit ramp off on the 7th Street off of Highway 75. Those are the first streetscape initiatives. And there's a downtown streetscape master plan, and we'll utilize that for all the hard materials that we use. And we're going to continue with a partnership with Up With Trees. We buy all the material, supplies the hard stuff, and they, with their volunteers, they come along and plant them, and then they help maintain them, and then we help water them, and then they maintain them for, I think, 3 years, and then they fall back to us. So fortunately, we've got some really strong advocates for the urban forest, and they've prevailed, and there's not any real opposition to it at all. But what there is the need for an advocacy to get it done. And that advocacy has been there. And as long as right now we can keep up with trees, as long as they can get the volunteers and come in. And of course, you can't plant year round. You need to get them in the winter and early spring, and then maintain them through the summers in Oklahoma, and then start again next year. So we've got another 100 plus queued up for next fall.
Now, the report sort of alluded to this idea of really having an urban canopy. And I'm wondering, is that truly feasible given a lot of our sidewalks in the downtown area are, let's just put it to other cities that have very walkable downtowns, they're not that wide. Can you accommodate this sort of a tree that's going to put up a canopy that will provide shade during the summertime and that like, given our infrastructure downtown?
You have to be careful with the selection of the tree. Mm-hmm. There's some trees you just can't plant in that atmosphere, in that scenario. Then you have to be mindful of the required width of sidewalk for all the different reasons to let people have room. So it's a challenge, but we use a landscape architect, and he gives us some plans, and we go out with trees, and we actually drive them and walk them and say, is this going to work or not? And we rely on their advice too. And so we have gotten a lot of trees in, and we'll get a lot more trees in. But there are certain areas where it's more of a challenge than others.
Let's talk about the sidewalk widths, because I think in making a comfortable walk and an interesting walk, it talks about things like sidewalk dining. And I know in some of the areas where we do have sidewalk dining, it really cuts down on the amount of walkability. And when you compare that to a lot of other cities, you know, they have very wide sidewalks. There's room for sidewalk dining. There's plenty of room for people to pass by. A lot of our infrastructure is not set up that way in the downtown area as far as the sidewalk. Was there much talk about that? Because I didn't really see anything in the walkability study about that.
There's been a lot of discussion about it, how we work with developers, businesses, to utilize the public right-of-way.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we do it by closing off parking spaces to give them more width. And I think we've got to give some careful consideration as to, is the parking totally a revenue generator or is it an economic development tool? And we've had a number of studies that say parking is one of your biggest economic development tools in your tool bag. So our planning department has addressed that. We're trying to address it more formally, but it is something that many people enjoy and want. And so I think it's incumbent on us to try to help them have that experience and to support businesses in that way.
Yeah. Now, in the comfortable walk section, it looked at the exposed parking lot as being a detriment to walking. Cold in the winter, you know, just the idea of the exposed parking lot as being a detriment to walking. Of course, we have certain areas that are becoming more dense in downtown, but we still have that huge parking crater, as they refer to it, in the south side of downtown between about 8th and 11th Street. Is that just a matter of private development stepping in, or is there certain things that something like the Downtown Coordinating Council or city entities can do to make a start on that and eliminating some of that?
It's private sector dependent.
Yeah.
But, yes, there's things the city can do. And there are a number of downtown development funds, and if those funds are utilized to help implement the theories, the philosophies, the goals of this study, instead of maybe just making them open for whoever makes an application, we can target redevelopment money to help fill in those, what Speck called, missing teeth.
My guest today is Tom Baker, the executive director of the Downtown Coordinating Council, which is currently seeking comment on the Tulsa Walkability Study, which was announced last week. And you can see it at the Downtown Coordinating Council website, and you can give feedback at feedbacktulsa.org. He's our guest today on Studio Tulsa. Well, a lot of people probably are sort of unaware of the Downtown Coordinating Council. I guess it came out of the vote to provide funding for One Oak Field, is that right? This was sort of a byproduct of that?
sort of a byproduct. You remember Downtown Tulsa Unlimited for years.
Yes.
And then as a part of the stadium trust that raised the money to build One Oak Field, there's a small portion that's set aside for maintenance and support of a downtown improvement district. And the DCC, Downtown Coordinating Council, is the body that was implemented to make recommendations on development, on improvements, a variety of different things. And then as a spinoff of that, we have inherited some of the roles that are essential to maintaining downtown as a place that people want to visit, that it's clean, it's safe, it's well lit, it has a comfortable feeling with streetscape and tree canopy and those sorts of things. And so that's a big role for the Downtown Coordinating Council.
So right now you're soliciting feedback on this walkability study.
Yes.
You've got the Upwood Trees project. But what are some of the other things that the council is doing that might not be readily apparent to the casual visitor to downtown?
Well, we worked through our budget and service committee to do the basic services of downtown, first of all, and making sure the streets are as clean as they can be and emptying trash and all that basic stuff. Then we have a marketing and promotions committee that has had the lead over the years to develop the IDL campaign, mm-hmm. and to continue to promote downtown. And then we have a parking and transportation committee that is engaged right now with the transportation issues within the walkable city study. And primarily, right, the thing that's on the table right now is the metered parking. And how do we improve metered parking all through downtown of LA? The need for some of our newest businesses downtown to have valet service, we're working on that. The Streetscape and Beautification Committee is just what it says. It's all about public art. It's about planting an urban forest. It's about planting a number of beds that we maintain down through downtown. And in the Safety and Security Committee is very connected with the social services that provide their work downtown in trying to make it as safe and as secure walk as it can possibly be.
Yeah.
And we want to support that, and we're going to support it, and we're going to try to support it in a way that's even better for their clients.
Yeah. I guess that feedbacktulsa.org site is available for any sort of feedback as well as
sure.
for the downtown walkability yeah. study as well, correct?
Yes. And it'll be up, I think it'll be up for the full month of April. If I'm remembering correctly.
All right. Well, Tom, appreciate your time today. Thank you very much for joining us.
Well, you're very welcome. I'm proud to be here.
Tom Baker is the executive director of the Downtown Coordinating Council. The council is seeking feedback on a new downtown walkability study. You can view that report at downtowntulsaok.com and give your opinion at feedbacktulsa.org. Well, that's Studio Tulsa for today. Our program is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. The views of our guests and commentators are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of KWGS or its licensee, the University of Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Thanks for listening.